Many of you have spent a number of days in the hospital off and on throughout your lifetime, and probably the younger you are, the few days you've spent in a hospital as such. I've been blessed to be only in the hospital for the longest period of time was 6 days back when I was a teenager. And I started to get a stomach ache, and I had a whole bunch of stomach aches before that, and they'd come and go, and my home remedy was drinking Coca-Cola, taking Pepto-Bismol, and that would take care of the problem. That's the medical cure the professional doctors don't want you to know about there. But it didn't work in that case when the stomach ache stayed. So off to the hospital emergency room I went, and diagnosis appendicitis, and out comes the appendix. And back in the ancient practice of medicine, you stayed in the hospital 5 days after you got your appendix out. Could you imagine? And I was put in a room when I was recovering with four other patients. Four of us in a room plus me, that's five, in a room not too awful bigger than my office, or think of your own bedroom there with five sick folk in there. And the blessing came my way in that the other four people who got there before me and who were much more ill than I was welcomed me into their fellowship of suffering and recovery, you might say. And they taught me how to buzz the nurse when I needed help. They told me the Jell-O was better than the broth, so to order a lot of Jell-O. And we shared our own conditions and rooted for each other, prayed for each other in the best way we know how. We knew how at that point. One man in particular who was kind of the ringleader, named Mr. Vargo, since gone to eternity. It was kind of a rough character. He was loud. He was a joker. He was the most seriously ill. And he felt a need to be at peace with God in some manner. So he called for someone to come that he might confess his sin to. That was his church background. And so we kind of all rooted for him because we sensed a restlessness in his soul. The best we knew how, we prayed for him. The clergyman came and began to draw the curtain so that he might have some sense of privacy as he confessed his sin to God. And he blurted out with sincerity and kind of threw everybody off, including the clergyman, I think he said, "I did everything except murder." That was his sincere confession. And we all kind of giggled. But we were rooting for him to be at peace with God. And we knew that could only come through Christ. So his confession was as sincere as I ever heard anybody make in terms of their own spiritual need. We were all sick. We had something in common. We needed a Savior for our bodies and for our souls. One time Jesus was eating with people, and he used the word in reference to them, sick. He said it was like being with folks who were sick. And they were called sinners by the people around them. Sinners were called sinners because they didn't have God's law and didn't keep God's law. Didn't know much about God and said, "Why should we even try? We're too far gone." And so they were considered sinners. One of them was called Matthew or Levi. He later wrote the Gospel of Matthew. Big turnaround in his life that only Christ could provide. And he had a lot of old friends from his BC days, before Christ's day, so he invites them all over his house. He invites Jesus over his house, and he has a big meal. And Jesus eats with them who are spiritually unhealthy. Back in Jesus' day, when you ate with somebody, it was really special. It was like saying to the person, "I consider you my friend." Jesus is sending a message to these folks, and they're sending a message back to Christ just by having him at the mealtime. Our missionaries tell us in the Middle East, for example, if a Muslim family invites you over their house, you know you have a true friend. And it might be an open door later to share about who Christ is and what he means to you, what he can mean to a life. While this is going on, understandably, the religious folks get flustered about this. What is Jesus doing with those who are really out of bounds spiritually? And the religious folks, they lose their a pious poise, you might say. They asked the disciples, "Why do you eat with sinners?" Why do you eat with sinners? Jesus overhears this and says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor. It's the sick. I've come to call sinners to a changed life. Sinners to a changed life. And Matthew and his buddies were coming to grips with who they were by coming to grips with who Jesus was. Other people kept their distance and just wondered. Maybe too attached to their own religion as opposed to Christ himself. And you and I are in this story, this true experience that Jesus had. We're either with Dr. Jesus because we say we recognize there's a lot of spiritual unhealth in us. Spiritually speaking, there's a measure of sickness. Even if we've received Christ and are a child of God, and God's Word would call us a saint, there's a measure of unhealth in us that God would like to work on and help us recover from. We're either in that group or we're in the group that keeps its distance, points to others and says, look at all those sick folk. They are really sick. And so if we take our stand with the religious folks, we should know this warning. To pretend I'm not a sinner could be my greatest sin. To pretend I'm spiritually healthy totally would be a great sign of spiritual unhealth to me. We all get disgusted when we watch the news and someone commits a crime through action or neglect, and that person is confronted by it, and there's nothing on the radar screen in their soul about that. They don't appear sorry. They seem to make excuse for themselves. It's as if nothing happened. And in the most dangerous setting, that's called being a sociopath, committing great out-of-bounds acts of evil and having no sense in a soul of remorse or the desire to change. We as people who would turn to Christ, we don't want to be spiritual sociopaths by saying, well, I have no concept of how God might treat my soul and any spiritual health that I'm experiencing. One thing we do know in the story, however, which we should not forget, Jesus was with those who were spiritually unhealthy. He was there. And he was ministering to them. And this morning, we could say, are there any spiritually unhealthy folks in church today who Jesus might help and be a doctor for you, for your soul, in a point of desperation? If you're spiritually unhealthy in any manner, Jesus would like to come and help you. He would reach out to you in that need with great compassion and care. I offer three things to invite you to do today. First of all, come to Christ with your spiritual illness. Come to Him with your spiritual illness. I've had physical illnesses in my life where I'd go right away to get it taken care of, and I receive help. When I stay home and say, this is not a big problem, the problem gets bigger. Pretty soon it's so big, it's affecting everybody around me. And I'm used to the pain. But everybody else is saying, the pain is huge. Would you please take care of that? And so Christ would invite us. Any spiritual condition, he would come and be of help. And I could say, honestly, whatever condition of soul you are in this morning, Christ is sufficient to help you. I've never met a person who came to Christ in any sincerity of faith, be they a believer or someone who's yet to believe, who didn't receive some help from Christ if they would turn to Him. So Jesus is available. Come to Him with your spiritual illness. We all have them. That's part of the wake-up call of the passage. We all have some spiritual illness. The more you know the Lord, chances are the more spiritual illness you realize you have that He can work on with you and bring recovery. The Apostle Paul was an example of this. A holy man of God who knew he was a child of God. And yet Paul would say things like in Colossians chapter 1, I labor struggling with God's energy. I labor to walk with Christ. It is difficult. He said things like, I press on. I try to forget what's behind. If I look behind, I see the conviction of sin behind me, or I see my own spiritual pride. I press on towards the upward call of God in Christ. Later he said, I want to know Christ more intimately, as if I'm meeting a friend for the first time. Paul's heart to say, work on my spiritual unhealth, dear Lord. If you and I would do that, we would meet a wonderful friend. In whatever condition, bring it to Christ. Don't hide that from Him. There are some, I think many in my life, there's spiritual illnesses I have that I don't have. I don't know I have. But God would reveal that to me. Would you be so bold to pray that for yourself? Lord, if there's a spiritual unhealth in my life that I can't see, point it out to me that you might minister to me and bring your grace and forgiveness to me where I'm at. Come to Jesus. If you're weary and burdened, He'll give you rest. And when you come to Jesus, you should know you come to Him because you are 100% responsible for your spiritual health. You are. And each one of us is as close to Christ as we really want to be. So come to a Savior with any spiritual illness you have, lack of love for God or people or unforgiveness in the past, prayerlessness, all those things. Second thing you're invited to do, welcome others as Christ welcomed you in your spiritual unhealth. Welcome others. What do people have to do in your life for you to accept them and love them? That's an important question. Do they have to meet a standard of righteousness that perhaps you have made up for yourself? What do folks really have to do to fill the grace and love of God through your life? Often by sharing our own wounds, we help other people to have faith in Christ and to heal. Dale Matthews experienced that this past week, going through the biggest trial in his life, having his leg removed from the knee down. And just the trauma of all that physically and emotionally. One of his daughters, Dale's daughters, works with a gal whose husband went through the same kind of spiritual or trauma physically. He had his leg removed. And this man, whose name I believe is Tom Snyder, went to visit Dale in the hospital. And just shared with him before the surgery, this is what happened to me. This is how I have recovered. And this is what I can do. This is what I can't do. And he shared something very interesting. He said, and sometimes as I'm walking around, I fall down. But I'm able to get up and live life and enjoy life as a gift that it is. And then Dale shared of the things he really needed to hear. He needed to hear something like that. That somebody who had the same burden as he had was able to have a life of help and blessing because of what God would do for him. Could you be that kind of a person for somebody else, spiritually speaking? Unless you share your own struggle and how God has helped you overcome or is helping you overcome some spiritual illness, you will never be of help to anybody else who is really spiritually in trouble. Accept others as Christ has accepted you. And you can make your life a situation of health for somebody where the great physician Jesus works through your life to be of help to people. The third thing I invite you to do is to treat everyone with Christ's love as the gracious physician has ministered to your soul, no doubt. And you've recovered from much and are still recovering from much more. Treat everybody with Christ's love. I think that's the challenge of the church today. The world cries out for a real Savior working in people's lives. Jesus might pose the question, if you love only those who are godly, what credit is that to you? If you love only those who are godly, what credit is that to you? Would you treat people with God's love, regardless of their spiritual state? Oh, you have this terrible illness? I have an illness too. It's not so hurtful to me anymore because of Christ. Let me pass on a Savior to you. and see what God can do through your life like that. You'll be taking your place like a Matthew. You've invited Jesus into your life, and now there's a whole bunch of people who he will also touch. It's part of your mission as a child of God. God would be at work in you. We've done some shopping around for different signs to put on our house. You know, welcome so-and-so and all that you might hang up. Someone in our family already hung up one for us. It said, "Blessed are those who are pleasant to live with." My wife hung that up in a room I hang out in many times. But if I could find a sign to put up in our house, in your soul, that might be an open door for Jesus, the great physician, to help spiritually unhealthy, it might be some spiritual unhealth present. But the great physician is present also, and he is working. Welcome. Come in and see what he may do. What would the tone of your soul be if you had that thought toward other people? What would the tone of Norwin Alliance Church continue to be if we were known as Norwin Alliance Hospital for Sinners? Hospital for Sinners. Well, are there any beds left? No. We need a lot of vacancy. And when you go, you'll find people in recovery. They'll pray for you. They'll show you how to make it through the next day. They'll give testimony of how God has helped them overcome and continues to help them overcome illness spiritually of any kind. Do you feel a part of that? Like Matthew with Jesus would. Whether you feel a part of it or not, you should know Jesus is meeting with the spiritually sick. He loves to do that. Any who need a doctor. And you can be a part of God's healing family as he would minister. I think today especially was shared in Sunday school some great trends in belief systems. And one of the gifts God would give even someone who'd say, I'm spiritually unhealthy. He would give as a gift the knowledge that Christ would be with you now and forever. Called the gift of eternal life. Now, with the gift of eternal life, some spiritual unhealth would remain until heaven. But you can know for sure today, Christ is with you and you'll be with him for eternity. Just as a gift, if you would sense that spiritual need in your life. When I first heard that in my life, I was totally shocked that such a gift could be received. I said, oh, no, you have to do a lot more so that you even know that God would someday accept you. But the news is the great physician would become your doctor forever, the lover of your soul. Would you receive him if you sense that need as a sinner? Be my Savior today, Lord. He'll come and be with you and you'll be with him. Let's pray together as his people. Lord, you call us many things in your word. And our real identity comes from you. We're children of God. We are given the gift of righteousness. We're called even saints. Perhaps we would not anoint one another as saints in behavior yet. But you would give that to us as a gift. As we continue to have spiritual unhealth that you working on, Lord, might we embrace you as a physician who will help us today in this hour. As your Holy Spirit would bring a deep awareness of yourself, bring an awareness of our any sin-sick soul that would be in us. I know your good Holy Spirit could lift burdens today. Might there be some breakthrough in changed lives. You do invite unhealthy sinners to a changed life. So we come to you, Lord, that you might share your health with us. Do this for us, your dear people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. going to sing a song that really comes out of the Bible. Jesus said, by this folks will know you are my disciples or students, that you have love one for another. And I think that that heart that Matthew had, being willing to follow Jesus, be considered as in need of a doctor spiritually, and invite others to, God would want us to do that for folks. Might people know that Christ lives within by our love. It's quite an inspiring song that meant a lot to me years and years ago, and might the Lord speak to us as we sing to Him.